900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches.
Hello, and welcome to Coffee Talk on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches. Please join the conversation by dialing 877-960-9960. Now your host, Brother Carl.
Just a hurricane. You know, I had to start something to say something a little bit different this morning. Welcome, dear family, to another edition of Coffee Talk. And as always, we try to do the very best we can in order to go out into the community and try to find situations and interesting things that are beneficial for our community, possibly that we might be able to address and get some, you know, kind of stabilize the family. But in the meantime, I love to say welcome again to Coffee Talk. And as always, we reach over on the other side of the room, and we have over there Mr. Tommy Walker. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, good morning, Brother Carr. Glad to be here.
Well, you know, all of the programming that I hear all across the country right now is kind of not normal right now. We're kind of like stabilizing ourselves again. But, you know, when we look at what has taken place this past week with the hurricane, I'm really thankful here in Palm Beach County that we didn't suffer as much as other parts of the state of Florida. But I think we've had practice enough inside of Palm Beach County because of the various hurricanes that we've had in the past. And I was glad to see people were getting water, ice, and doing those things, feeding stations, even the school district this year, been feeding people, feeding the children and everything. I'm really thankful for that kind of activity.
I've been here a very long time, and this is the first time that during a hurricane that I actually saw my people preparing, right. Everybody preparing, evacuations. Mm-hmm. I think the governor did a very good job in coming out, speaking up, because, you know, it could have went either way. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that it didn't come down the East Coast, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm praying for the West Coast.
But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in the preparation activity or the preparation thoughts inside of our mind, a lot of our family members jumped on the expressway, took out toward Tampa, and then they took out toward Orlando, because I know a lot of them. I know at least 25, 50 people from personally took out to Tampa, took out to Orlando, took out to Atlanta. Everybody that they said, I called some other friends in Atlanta, Georgia, and they said it seemed like Atlanta had turned into Palm Beach because all of the people from Palm Beach were up in Atlanta.
Exactly.
And then when the hurricane decided to make its way into Florida, it went the route that all of them went to do and went to escape. And I'm looking at what can we do possibly to eliminate that kind of error? Because, see, like a lot of people took out. I know it was difficult to get gas here. And then when you went that way, you know, you over that road all the time. And what's happening? What was happening over there in Tampa and St. Pete and Sarasota?
Man, I've been all the way up to Wildwood, been over west of Tampa, Orlando. Everywhere I went, everywhere I've been this week, like as of Friday, there are still gas lines. There are still stations with no gas, trees down, mm-hmm. and there is lines everywhere. So, you know, this was a very powerful storm, and I've never seen nothing like it since I've been around. But it's surely coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to have to prepare ourselves because I don't know how many have been paying attention. I know that Jose has kind of struck the attention of everybody because now it seemed to have an eye toward Washington and New York and all those areas. But then I was telling you a little bit earlier that there are two other hurricanes, Marie and Lee, that have formed coming off the coast of Africa. And they are projecting that the hurricane Marie is going the same route that Irma just finished. And they were looking at the possibility of some more tragedies happening down in the
islands.
You're right in the Florida Straits and then the Keys and everywhere else. And, you know, as we continue to try to make Palm Beach the best place, I'm hoping that we are understanding what we have to do when we have these storms or tornadoes or any other things, how we can prepare ourselves and possibly save life. I'm glad that we only had a minimal amount of deaths, although if one is too many.
Yes.
But at least we were able to kind of prevent a major catastrophe like what we've been doing in the past.
Preparation. Yeah. And, you know, I left out of here Friday night going to Orlando. It took me 6 hours just to get to Orlando. So
what did that trip usually take?
2.5. Me in a truck, 3 hours at max, but 2.5. And I'm like, but it's hard to try to get out of a storm and you got to leave 4 days in advance and mm-hmm. then the storm go the other way. But those are some of the decisions that you have to make when the storm is approaching. Because mm-hmm. The traffic, it was horrendous.
Okay. You know, but that's the reason why I said in the preparation mode, we're going to have to take a critical look at all of these variables that that are part of this kind of activity and how we possibly might be able to change some things. My focus is going to be next storm is going to be ice and water, because I've seen a lot of people suffering because of the ice, and especially the elderly. I was around quite a few elders, and I always be around the elders because they always have some food. But, you know, to make sure that they have some ice and some water. And I think we can do that in a much more efficient way. And, you know, I think we usually wait to after the storm. Then we try to bring the trucks in and we try to get things like that. I think we need to have some kind of relationship with those ice machines. Some kind of way that we can start preparing ice and then get a freezer on some kind of generator or something.
Yeah, I can probably help in that. You know, because I tried to do some stuff for my city when it was concerning the water. And it kind of like fell through. But now that the storm went the other way, I'm going to make some preparations and get something placed in order so that when a storm do come, that the people that I know, hey, all we got to do is make a few phone calls and boom, we'll have the water here. Now I'm going to work on that ice thing.
But I want to hear that creative thought that you had, because I think we need to share that with our family members just in case someone else might have that same kind of opportunity that you have, and then they might be able to bring it into fruition. What was your thoughts? Because I had some ideas that I discussed with the leadership of West Palm Beach. I was able to get it to Kevin Jones, who's the assistant to the mayor, and he got it to Jeff Green, the young man that we brought up, the city administrator.
Right.
So I'm after you finish yours, I'm gonna tell you about what I did.
Like I was trying to get a whole truckload of water, but due to some contractual agreements, they couldn't sell the water to my people. But there is
that's
always,
the city, right?
Yeah, for the city of Riviera Beach. But there's always a way around it. And now that the storm went the other way, I'm going to get with my people and make sure that we don't have that problem, that all they got to do is call up and say, oh, we want this, and it's there. Because mm-hmm. right now, with the strings and the contractual agreements, we can put ourselves in place that, boom, my people want this and we can get it.
But the reason why I said that, Tommy, because I think it's important that the citizens of Palm Beach County understand the idea that you were trying to implement, and that was you made a contact with your city manager, Mr. Jonathan Evans, and you were trying to, since you do go up and down the road in that truck,
right?
You were trying to pick up a load of water
to bring back for the city of River
and that
Beach.
Was before the storm,
right?
And because of the contractual necessities, you weren't able to make that. You know, I kind of took on a little heavy-weighted problem myself. I went to the, you know how right now you have all of this debris all over the streets, and many times these young boys that you see on the corner, they're not. A lot of people don't feel that they're employable. But they need an opportunity as well in order to participate in some kind of structural way to help us inside of this hurricane season. And I was asking them if they possibly they might be able to employ some of our people off of the block and everything and try to get them straight. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do that as of yet, but I think it's a good opportunity for us to put some money into the community. Even like right now with the other two hurricanes coming, we need to be preparing ourselves. And I think these young men that are on the corner, they can get them a job if you give them a decent wage, and they could pick up a lot of this debris. Because if we just think, if another storm do come immediately, like these two are preparing themselves to come, it'd be a lot of stuff blowing around. And we need to get all of this stuff, get it into some containers or get it somewhere where we don't have the problem of that taking place. And a lot of the stuff is taking place inside of our elderly, because even myself, I had to go and remove a couple of trees off of a couple of houses myself. And now when I talk about the labor, I'm really talking about the labor because I had to do
work,
it.
work.
Yeah, and when you start trying to lift them trees, man, that's a whole different.
And the money is there.
Yeah,
it's through there. FEMA and through all these organizations, the money is there.
Right.
To employ these guys to get this stuff up off the road.
But then I also understand that many times you just can't go on the corner and get them. They need someone that understands their dilemma.
That's where you come in at.
Right. Yeah. And that's the reason why I offered the service, because I know that you have to have some kind of real relationship with them in order for them to listen to you or for them to take direction from you. And that's just a part of the structure that's been developed for them. But I think as a result of having these storms, possibly we might be able to shift some of these ideas. Because it was disturbing to me to see immediately after the storm, to see the young boys back on the corner, sitting on the corner, and with all of this stuff blowing around. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I say that because I believe that the people that are in charge of the city, you got a responsibility to everyone in the city, not just say those that are doing well or those that you deem in a righteous position. But I think you got a responsibility to every citizen. And I think if you didn't have an opportunity to fellowship with them in the past, here's one now. And I think we should take the advantage of it, particularly because we got two more hurricanes coming. Okay. But, you know, as we got into our dialogue today, of course, we have some people say the best dressed pastor in Palm Beach County. And we're talking about none other than the young man that we have to extend the right hand of fellowship. And that's Pastor Thicklin. How you doing this morning, Pastor Thicklin?
I am doing wonderful. It's so good to be back here, post Irma, like to call it. And listen, we are grateful. Think about just 1 week ago today, mm-hmm. where we were and the things that happened and the mindset, the tension, the anxiety, all those things. Now, I am one of those people that did at the last moment. I did go up to Orlando. I surely did. And let me tell you, I went up to Orlando because it was closer than Atlanta.
And what happened, Rep?
And Orlando was actually beautiful where I was. You know, we were there. We camped out at our hotel there.
You stayed the whole storm?
I stayed the whole storm. Yeah, okay. I came back. Okay. You know, in all actuality, I actually thought, although I'm watching news, okay, somehow or another, it's not going to hit here. Because for the most part, we had no rain. We had no wind. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have pictures of myself still walking out, you know, just strolling.
I came through Orlando, didn't I?
No, I did not come through Orlando at all. As a matter of fact, about 3:15 Sunday morning, about 3:15 Sunday morning is when I began to really see the wind and the rain, and it reached a peak that you could really hear whistling. Mm-hmm. And I think I was on the fourth floor of the hotel. Was it the seventh? Anyway, I was up, you know.
In the hotel?
And it was interesting because the fact, I'm like saying, at first, it's not going to happen. Look like we're not going to even get it. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying that because different one kept, you know, texting or calling. How's it going? You guys got any? I said, nothing yet. Mm-hmm. Nothing yet. Nothing yet. And about 3:15 that morning, I could hear the winds.
You got it.
And the rain. Was,
right.
You could hear that. But where we were was very secure. We didn't lose power at all. It flickered. I saw the television, you know, stop and freeze. But but we were fine. And the most miraculous thing was within a matter of hours. You know what happened? Everything was calmed back down.
So you guys didn't really get a hurricane?
Where I was, we did not get a hurricane. We got winds. Right? Okay. And that's the whole thing I was telling people, that we got winds. Now, what I understand outside of that, because it's like anything, you can be in a hotel or whatever, and you may feel like you're isolated from the rest of the world, or you may feel like the rest of the world is just like you. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, now, that very next day, one of the ladies that worked there was talking about, she did not live far from there, but she was talking about the trees that was down. She was talking about all the things that they experienced. We didn't see any floods, but I can tell you this much here. We learn better, look like, as these things happen, because they were right on it in Orlando. I mean, they wasn't letting no one get out in the streets. They want to make sure they secure some things. Now, in the midst of that, they did have some crazies. They had
right,
some crazy,
we had some here too.
We had some crazies, just like they did down in Broward and stuff, and people looting and breaking in at a time. Except for in Orlando, out of all the places you break into, you break into a gun shop, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and then they're held, you know, there. And one guy had sense enough to say, "Look, I'm surrendering myself, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I'm not gonna make this any worse than what it is." And it ended up being something good in terms of that. So, you know, we're grateful that we made it back. I made it back like most people, and there was no power. And but you know what? Here's a lesson. Here's one of the many lessons out of this. Power seemed as having electricity seemed minute in reflection to the devastation that could have happened,
right.
mm-hmm. and just the saving of life. Mm-hmm. When you look at what's happened down there in Monroe County, that's the keys. When you look at what has happened in the Caribbeans and even Puerto Rico, places that was devastated. When you look at just so much, I mean, in areas of flooding, you know, Jacksonville had floods
downtown.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, listen, where did the St. John's River begin and where did it?
But, you know, that was confusing to me because that is a river. I know it runs back into the ocean, but it looked like that because that St. John River runs all the way down to Titusville.
And not only that, you know, Jacksonville is surrounded by rivers. That's right. Their nickname, one of their nicknames, the City of Rivers.
Okay.
Because they're surrounded by it. And so when that surge came and all those things there, it just, mm-hmm. And what was interesting is that you're right. This hurricane changed courses a couple times. And there's a spiritual lesson inside of all this as well.
Come on, Rick. You know,
and it is.
Here we go. Come on.
Now you notice what happened when hurricane time came in preparation? Man, you say what you want to, other than folks fighting to get your gas pumps and things like that, people was very much concerned about each other. Folks, I heard from folks I hadn't heard from in since Foreverville. Mm-hmm. How y'all doing? Are you okay? People start binding together, coming together. Well, I have some extra nails. You know, you need some. Mm-hmm. And you saw this sense of unity. People was concerned about folks, you know, folks posting, "Lord, help me." And then we get through it. We check and we're safe. And we return to, when this power going to come back on? Or we start complaining. Oh, I broke a nail. You know, we was giving out nails to each other before. Now we're concerned about a broke. And so, once again, what is the lesson that we need to learn? Because I believe that the hurricane was the time of bringing people together. Mm-hmm. Because I said it like this, and I was reading some crazy stuff on social media, and it bothered me to a certain degree. But the time, I feel like the scripture, my time has not yet come to respond to some of the foolishness. But one of the things that was crazy, I was concerned about people over-spiritualizing this thing.
Yeah.
If you left, you didn't have no faith. If you say you had faith.
I heard that, right.
And I'm going to say to you that neither is the case. It's like saying, well, if you really love God, you knew he had you and he protecting you. Well, that's just like me saying, well, I know God and I'm not going to go to work because, look, I just know he's going to provide.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I thought it was the wrong timing because it's like implying a guilt trip on people. Listen, there's a human component to every one of us. Mm-hmm. A brother come here and put a gun in my face. I don't care how much I speak in tongues. I'm not going to sit there and go, ha, sha, pa, pa. No, there's a part of me that's going, Father, speak to that brother.
Right.
That's a part of me that if I could get out of his sight quick enough, guess what? Feet don't fail me now, right, you know? Right. And so does that mean I don't have faith? No. And so what I'm saying is that we have to put it in perspective because I believe that was a time of hope. That was a time of a message. I mean, think about how divided this country has been, how crazy things were happening here, all kind of foolishness happening in our country. And guess what? He couldn't get our attention no other way. Nothing else got our attention until these hurricanes came. Harvey came on this side. Then Irma came, and then they got the chilling, you know, not the children, they're chilling, you know, got Jose and Katia and whatever and the other one's name.
Yeah. Maria and Lee.
And so you got all these things that are coming, but we have to see the message inside of it. You guys was talking as I was driving in, and I thought about it. We almost talked today as if this was our first hurricane, and mm-hmm. it's not. We had Matthew a year ago.
Gene and Francis.
Yeah, and so what is the lesson that we're learning? There's something that happened this time, though, that I believe that summits us in a different way. I believe that something this happened, and maybe because we were right on the heel of what just happened over in Houston and that area with Harvey. So we saw visible damage. We saw people in peril. We saw all these things happening. And that was one of the reasons. I mean, listen, my oldest son literally became upset mm-hmm. when we did not get it. He was trying to get us to take a plane, go to Cleveland, you know, go where mm-hmm. he lives, you know, although he's there in Houston, part of the relief effort. But it's like, Dad, y'all need to go. Just go to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Go to my house. And he felt that way because of what he saw.
And what he's heard.
And there in Houston, he said, if you could see what I see here, y'all need to get out.
Yeah, because, you know, when you look at Irma was a Category 5.
Yeah.
And we even Andrew was a Category 4.
Absolutely.
But then I think what kind of drew everybody together, it seems that the Creator have to put everybody up under the same kind of pressure.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's seen that this was the largest storm ever in recorded history, and it had the ability to cover the entire state at one time.
And it did.
So it puts everybody in a position mm-hmm. where everybody's responsible. So I'm hoping that as we move forward in dealing with all of these systems, mm-hmm. we might have something that would place us in a position where we have to look after everybody. And I think many times we are not in that kind of position. But I do think that Irma provided us with that kind of practice, you know what I mean, so that we can see how possibly we might be able to get the human family to organize. But we have to, it's a shame that we have to go into a crisis mode in order to get that achieved.
Yeah, we go back to what Rhett was saying. Sometimes God puts certain things in our paths to show us something so that we can see certain mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And this was the first, like, this wasn't our first hurricane, but this right. is the first hurricane that everybody actually paid attention to, because this thing was huge. And like I said, I've been all the way up the coast, all the way up to Wildwood, and the wind was the most significant thing, because I right here in Riviera Beach, the wind, we had no rain, but the winds were still coming around 40, 50 miles an hour because we was in some kind of window, and it mostly affected winds, down trees and down power lines. And I just want to tell all our listeners, everywhere I go, I always learn like this, I always think like this. Every time you think you're doing bad, all you got to do is realize somebody's doing worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after the storm passed, and, you know, like, I never lost power, but I was in my feelings for people that still don't have power today.
Okay, but now as we continue to try to look at the situation and really try to build some apparatus so that we can have some other future escape routes, what do you see that you could possibly change that could make things better, other than your water? Because I think that was superior. I think if you would have brought
ice.
Right. I think if you would have been able to bring back a tractor trailer load of water, that would have had a great impact on the city of Riviera Beach. But what do you see, Reb? You have any thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. I look at the natural and I look at the spiritual, and I look at both inside of that. One thing is this. Let's go back to this. There are many things that can be done differently, and some of them are going to take a lot of money. So let's talk about what can happen that needs to happen on the state and federal level, and let's bring that back down to what happens
okay.
individually.
Okay.
First of all, the state of Florida need to really consider whatever it costs to start putting power lines underground, because that would save people from being out of electricity. The interesting thing about Houston and the whole Southeast Texas area when it was hit, now, mind you, I have 3 siblings out there, nieces and nephews out there, and cousins all out there. Not one of them lost power.
Mm-hmm.
All their power lines are under ground where they are, mm-hmm. all of them. So they didn't lose power. So what is one of our biggest headaches and inconveniences here?
Power.
Power. You know, it broke my heart when I returned back and just saw people with their doors open just trying to get a breeze because they couldn't be inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so one of the things that we need to consider that, I understand there are certain areas of Florida, very small, that do have power lines underground.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big thing. I think that's something that we need to really consider.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity, by God's grace, to be a traffic signal engineer once upon a time.
Look at that. And I love, hey, bro, tell me, when we look at his life, he's had the opportunity to really be a part of a lot of things.
You know, I we used to install traffic lights, and you had those concrete poles that had to be 48 by 48. But 7 feet deep.
Uh-huh.
And when we used to dig, well, when you dig in Florida, sometimes you could dig a spot and go down 3 feet
and
hit water.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And when you were talking about putting the lines up under the ground,
that may be the reason why not.
I'm not sure. I don't know how that dynamic would work or mm-hmm. what kind of tubing or whatever it is that you could put it in to secure the water from seeping into that kind of stuff. But I think that would be a big explosion. But I think it merits the investigation because there is some areas where you do have solid ground. Most mm-hmm. of the people that are from Palm Beach, you know, if you haven't been here for the past 40 years, you don't remember where the Palm Beach Mall was used to be marshland.
That's
you know
what I understand.
Yeah, and then Perini had to come in and do the landfill and everything. And, you know, when we look at really what's taking place, I think the age that we've matured to now, mm-hmm. it provides us with a view that is much more different and much more accommodating to what is needed inside of the state of Florida. But there are things that we need to take under consideration mm-hmm. when we have those kind of thoughts relative to where we're at, because Florida is a peninsula mm-hmm. surrounded by three bodies of water. Mm-hmm. And we understand that it's different than those other places right. where
absolutely
that water supply is not really there. So I'm hoping that as we move forward, we could look at some of these things and really try to develop them to the degree, because I see a great opportunity for those who have the creative minds mm-hmm. to come up with some kind of real exploration on possibly putting the cables in the ground mm-hmm. or doing the other things. If we could develop fiber optics, and we were very successful in that, you know, and we took all of that electricity and put it in one little small wire, mm-hmm. I'm sure we might be able to find some kind of tubing or something inside the state.
So that's one level that we start. The other level is when we start talking about generators and things. Mm-hmm. Well, one kind of helps out the other, because the fact if you had the power lines underground, then the chances of you losing power wouldn't be that great. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime and in between time, the fact of generators, what if someone, if this was December, the biggest thing I've heard on people's wish list was, I've got to invest in a generator.
Right.
But then invest in a generator also requires education.
Right.
You don't take the generator and put it in a closed area where now you're killed by the carbon monoxide.
Right.
You know, so you got to make those things happen. Thirdly, I think that the whole thing about water is so important. And it's hard to do so. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Governor Rick Scott, but in this case here, I thought that man was on it continuously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw him more inside of, you know, giving direction and telling you what to do. And I thought it was very emphatic, you know, listen here.
Man, if you're the governor in some a wind, a force, a rain and all that kind of activity, getting ready to the engulf, not say just Miami or Palm Beach, but your whole state. I mean, it's listen, time for you to come out and say something.
But he came
I
out.
I think he just didn't want to be a Donald Trump this time. He's like, I'm going to get out in front of this. Yeah. I got to yeah. get out in front of this.
And he did
this.
A great job because even now the tolls are still free mm-hmm. on the highway. Now, I mean, for that to be still going on, it's amazing.
You know, a lot of people that left are mm-hmm. still trapped. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I know some people that went as far as Atlanta. I even know some that went to North Carolina.
Yeah,
right.
I have a few that.
And now trying to get back in a lot of the areas that we are not privileged to see mm-hmm. are really destroyed. I know that Palm Beach, mm-hmm. they blocked off the bridges. You mm-hmm. couldn't go on or come back mm-hmm. off. And so, you know, we haven't really had a real report about
right.
what took place over there. But, you know, when we look at the reality of things, that's what I'm looking at, Reb, as mm-hmm. we mature. We're getting a chance to get an area of view mm-hmm. in our minds as it relates to what is actually happening to us as a family. Because I really wanted to ask a question about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you that. 877-960-9960 is the number to call to get involved in the conversation. If you have something to say, something good, something that is relevant for the family, here's your opportunity. That's 877-960-9960. And the thought that I had, Rev, about the churches, you know, most of the time people expect the church to give away mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize if I give away everything, then I don't have no way to replenish
right.
things. But during this storm, I was able to see all of these stores, these little convenience stores, mm-hmm. all of them were open, selling their food that was thawed mm-hmm. out. I mean, because I bought some chicken mm-hmm. from one of them and bit into it, and it was black all the way through it, right? But, you know, when you put that flour on and mm-hmm. drop it in that grease, you can't tell what you're eating. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at, you know, I always used to say that the church should provide us with some mm-hmm. food services. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean give them away. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about same way we pay at these little mm-hmm. Convenience places, we should make a charitable donation to the church. Mm-hmm. And the difference being, I believe that if we were to get a meal from the church, it would be much more nutritional. Mm-hmm. It would be much more better prepared and everything else. But I didn't see any real. In Guilford, mm-hmm. And then Fesmere down in upper Florida, they were passing out food, hot meals, and and these are the churches I'm talking about. But I didn't see that kind of love throughout the United, throughout the state of Florida. And if we had that kind of camaraderie, I think it would take a lot of pressure off a lot of things, and it would increase the wealth of the church.
Well, you're exactly right, but what I will say is that they have been. And so let's look at this. The church is comprised of people. Those are the same people that still live in the same affected neighborhood, still affected. But I will tell you that even in the midst of it, there's been some great things done. Let me start with here. Even Friday, and I still can go back to yesterday, I do know that there was some churches that came together, and they all was on there at Stony Brook. And I thought that was amazing. I didn't even know about it. I was a little jealous because ain't nobody told me nothing, okay? And I be the president, and they didn't tell me nothing.
What?
But listen, they came together. They were doing some things. Shallow Family Worship Center there, my friend Bishop A.J. Wright, Shallow Cares, my friend Johnny Brown there with his church. I'm trying to think of his name with the outreach, World Outreach. They were doing some things along with Christ Fellowship, and they were all there together. You know, whether it was coordinated or not, they all saw the same need. And not only, they had it going on. They was barbecuing. They had food, and all this was passed out. Mm-hmm. They had barbecue. They had things like that. They had the water. Listen, they had trucks. I saw Shiloh them bring in trucks of water and things, and they was coordinating. You had other vendors. Nikki with Nikki Sweets, she was out there. Different ones was out there, and they made it happen. Now, in Delray Beach, you had Commissioner Mac Bernard there with a group and everything. They were out there making some things happen as well. Bishop Granger, I know they were doing at Mount Calvary. They was passing things out and food for people. My friends up in Orlando with Bishop Kevin Cabarrus, which he's just absolutely incredible guy. He just tickles me in the way that I just love, because he's always in front of stuff. And listen, he was out there telling me, y'all come get the food. We got food. We're passing out.
See, but Ray, I would look at that idea, but I'm hoping that we could organize that so that we could have an apparatus in place, so I could know that you got water, go to Mount such and such and get the grits, whatever we got to
do. But you know what? You're right on time, and that's exactly what we're headed toward. I will tell you this, that, you know, we've been in meeting the Alliance, and we're looking at something that we're going to be planning very soon. It's a post-Irma thing, and it's going to be reflective of truly the body.
Yeah, because Marie and
Jose.
Lee,
all of them out there. We got a caller on the line, and I guess we're getting ready to get an update on the city of Riviera Beach. We have the mayor of the city of Riviera Beach, Thomas Masters. He's on the line right now. How you doing this today, Pastor? Mayor.
I'm doing fine. I must admit I am extremely exhausted, tired, beaten down. However, I'm going to bounce back. This hurricane has caused me to work around the clock for a few days, and I'm still getting caught up, trying to get ready for church this morning to celebrate and be thankful and grateful that the main effects of the storm bypassed us, and I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Anything happened out there? I seen y'all had a lot of tents around the city hall. What happened over there, Rip? I seen all of the tarp all over the building.
I actually stayed at the city hall for 3 days, if not four. No, we were fine at city hall, and very minimal damage in the city of Riviera Beach, mostly trees falling on vehicles and different things like that in the street. But I do want to give a factual update on what is available for relief now that the in post-Irma time. If I can have a minute, this will take about a minute, but not long. I don't want to give out any misinformation, because there's people saying you can get emergency food stamps, emergency hotels, all kind of stuff out there. Yeah. Some is true and some isn't. But this is what's going to happen. Caring Community Coalition for Disaster Relief. The purpose is to lead and organize, as Reverend Thicklin was saying, an effective response effort in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, and to address the unmet recovery needs of individuals and families in Palm Beach County. Now, the agencies that will be participating on certain dates, all in one place, to give out the information to help people whatever they need and to assess the various agencies. PVC Community Services Development, Catholic Charities, United Way of PVC, that's Palm Beach County, the Salvation Army, the Area Agency on Aging, Career Service, Glades Initiative, the PBC Food Bank, Lighthouse Cafe, the Red Cross, Farm Worker Coordinating Council, the Guatemala Millennium Center, and, of course, the Legal Aid Society. Now, these are the services that will be available all in one place. FEMA Application Assistance, the Transitional Sheltering Assistance, Blue Roof Program, etc. Food Stamp, SNAP, Food Stamp Application Assistance, LIHEAP, LIHEAP, Electric Bill Application Assistance, Employment Application Assistance, Eviction Prevention Application Assistance, Medicaid Application Assistance, Legal Assistance. Now, these are the items needed for registration process. You must bring your Social Security number, financial information, contact information, insurance information, electronic funds transfer, direct deposit information. I guess they're going to put money in your account. Now, in Belgrade, it will take place at the Belgrade Library Civic Center on 9/20, September 20th, at 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. South Bay at Tanner Park, and that's 9/21, September 21st, same time, 1 to 7. And Pahokee will be at the Pahokee Recreational. Pahokee Recreational Center, September the 22nd, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And Riviera Beach at the Community Service Center, they call it the Mamie Frederick Building, 1440 MLK, which is right down the street from Stony Brook. They'll be in that area, all these agencies together, 9/25/17, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's September the 25th. And West Palm Beach, they will be at Gaines Park, 1501, everybody knows the Gaines Park, 1501 North Australia, and that's on the 26th of September from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Lake Worth, I just got one more, Brother Carl, and Reverend, I'll be done. Lake Worth will be at the Lantana Road Branch Library, 9/27/17, from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then last but not least, Delray Public Library on 9/28, the 28th of September, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Now, these are all the agencies. Everybody will be there to help people, whatever their needs may be, all in one place at one time. Now, that's the real deal, okay?
Okay. All right.
That's awesome information, because what we'll do, I don't know if you have that printed anywhere or electronically, I would like to be able to take that and not only put it on social media, but also send it out to the entire Palm Beach County Clergy Alliance and directory of whatever ministers we have, because these are the type of things that we're talking about. We have to be coordinated. And one of the things I will say, even if we didn't know about it, doesn't mean that we can't get involved in it and saying, what can we do to help at this point? There are many churches, even where I attend, we're not even having services morning because we were affected by the hurricane. Mm-hmm. In terms of that, you know, our connected right to the BB&T Bank building there off of Broadway. And if you saw the external damage there, where the bricks was peeled right off the wall and the BB&T Bank sign was in the church parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I will definitely send that to you, Reverend. I do have it electronically. Just text me your email. When you're off the air, send it to you. It's on a factual sheet. You can upload it on the Word document or however.
That's awesome.
It is available. We want to get it out because this is the real deal. As a matter of fact, now that you're smoking, maybe I should go to Staples and get hundreds of copies made and get them at the churches this morning and put them on the car so people can have the right factual information, because there's so much misinformation out there that we've got to dispel the rumors about this, that, and the other, and go to the real deal. And this is the real deal.
You know, and I really thank you, Mayor, because the fact you hit it on the head, there has been so many false information. Right. I mean, erroneous things out there. People, and because people are vulnerable and people are desperate, mm-hmm. they're going there. And a lot of these are scams. You know, the whole thing, the $197, you know, you're going to get for food and things and FPL and those type things, they seem legitimate to people in need and things. But, you know, part of that scam was just to capture people's Social Security.
And I could tell you, I experienced that because I think I sent the email to you, Rev. It was a group that was sending around telling that people are going to get 150 if you just give your number or whatever. I guess they were going to get your bank account number and then call itself going to install some dollars in it. But then another email came back out showing that it was a false alarm. But
I saw that. I saw that. Well, all I can say is I'll get this information on flyers. We are open today in New Macedonia. We have power. We have air. In the meantime, I want my darn food stamp. So I'm going to go on that day to Riviera Beach. I didn't have power either for several days. If I can get some food stamps, I want them now. What about you, Reverend?
Well, I tell you this much, Mayor. We have proof that you were out of power because you did stay there at City Hall and was working in the midnight. You was posting there. You was trying to make sure people was assured about FPNL. And, you know, listen, if nothing else, they ought to give you food, Sam, just for being who you are.
All right. I got to go get ready for church. Y'all take care. Thanks for allowing me to call in, Brother Carl.
All right.
Keep doing what you're doing. You guys are doing a great job.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Mayor.
But, you know, Pastor Thicklin, as we continue to look at this human mathematical equation, we know that our community, the African-American community, have always suffered a little bit more and apparently than others. And this is something that I don't think that we can just cast to the side or something that we should not take a look at critically, mm-hmm. because I'm still looking at the responsibility of the church to the community. And mm-hmm. most of these buildings that we have, the larger edifices inside of our community are our churches. Mm-hmm. And I think that to whom much is given, much is required. And I think we have to really come up with some kind of real way to address many of our problems, because I'm still hearing mm-hmm. how those trucks are still passing us by in some of these affected areas where our mm-hmm. people are located, and we're still not, we don't have the media and everything else to cover this kind of activity. And it's something that as men and women of our community, we're going to have to stay focused until we get some real examples of mm-hmm. what to do, like what you're talking about, preparing the church to facilitate the ice and the water and the other things, the food possibly. But we're going to have to stay serious and stay focused, because otherwise, I've watched in the past, we'll forget so easily. You know what I mean? We as a people, we'll allow tragedy to take place, and then
it's always been like that.
Yeah, but we got to change that kind of activity, and I'm hoping that since we're in this window, possibly we might be able to do it. Now, before we get out of here today, Rep, mm-hmm. I know that you're involved with the third annual sickle cell blood drive. And I know that right now in the state of Florida, blood is a much needed commodity because of the possibilities of accidents. You know, we don't realize that when you're having people cutting trees, going in ditches and doing different things, mm-hmm. you never know when you're going to need some blood. And y'all got a blood drive going on, and it's in honor of Leah.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, I tell you, I get emotional with this one. So it's the third annual sickle cell awareness blood drive. It's going to take place on Wednesday, September 20th from 10 p.m. to 7 p.m. right there in front of the Sickle Cell Foundation building, 1600 North Australian. And when they talk about in honor of Leah, this is a little girl. She's now 10 years old. She had been in the hospital many times with the help of blood donors, and she came out stronger. Now, what people may not understand, you know, sickle cell disease and sickle cell trait affects, you know, although predominantly a people minority and black people, people Caribbean, people of Mesopotamia and Greek and all that, that however, it affects people even outside of that. Mm-hmm. We may be the greatest group that is affected by it. But the thing that people don't often see in their mind is the suffering what we call sickle cell crisis. When they go into a crisis, and that crisis is so painful mm-hmm. that literally they're in the most excruciating pain. Okay. Doctors have grappled for years inside of what pain medication to give them, those type things. We have to educate even the emergency room staff because they start looking at people with sickle cell as mm-hmm. being just pain pill seekers.
Right.
But this real crisis. So when you look at this little young lady, Leah, she represents several hundreds and thousands of young people that suffer with this. What people may not know, if you don't have someone who's affected by sickle cell disease, especially when you talk about children, and I need to make it very plain, you don't grow into sickle cell. You're born with sickle right. cell. And so many times people look at the adult, but they don't understand that journey. Mm-hmm. And these kids here oftentimes, Brother Carl, they are missing weeks out of school each month. Very few kids that mm-hmm. suffer with sickle cell
crisis. They got a different kind of pain.
Go to school the entire month. They spend much of their time being hospitalized. And many times they need blood donation.
Right.
And blood donation is important, not only for this reason, but as you're saying, many things that have happened.
Right.
Now, here's the sad thing. You may not believe this. Now, this is statistic research, where we as people of color, black people, we're donating less blood, mm-hmm. but we are the ones that are the consumers need it more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes a point with this blood drive here. I'm so excited about it for this reason. In honor of this little girl, I got a chance to meet her last year at the sickle cell luncheon. Number two, I'm honored because of the fact this little girl here, part of the things that she's going to do, she designed this beautiful T-shirt I wish everyone could see. She designed it. It is all talking about sickle cell strong, finding a cure. Because her attitude and confidence have not been wilted.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because there are people that was willing not only to donate blood and people to donate to a research. So on this day here, September 20th here in Palm Beach, what's going to happen is that a way of saying thank you for those that donate blood. And by the way, I am donating. I don't generally do so because I have this condition called chicken ischemia. you know about that?
Yeah.
I know God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but nobody said nothing about chicken ischemia, yeah, right?
I don't like native. Okay.
You know, but what I do know is I'm donating. Not only will they receive this beautiful shirt, they're going to also get a free movie ticket so you can go to whatever movie you want to see. But most of all, think about the lives that you would have affected, the Leahs of the world and so many people here.
Well, you know, Rev, a lot of time we take a lot of things for granted. You know, most people, if they had an opportunity to hear the way that you just put that human mm-hmm. mathematical equation on the mm-hmm. board, then possibly they can come up with an answer. But
absolutely.
Many times we don't have the communication link. Mm-hmm. You know, I was looking at the poster and I see that the Cox Media Company out of Miami are kind of somewhat leading. And I'm hoping that, you know, over here at the Talk of the Palm Beaches, we would take a critical look at it. And other venues where information can be disseminated, I'm hoping that all of us would take the opportunity to look at the storm mm-hmm. like we did when Irma was coming, and then work together as a team as opposed to working separately as all kind of individual entities.
Hey, look, I want to congratulate the city manager, the police chief of Riviera Beach,
man,
for an outstanding job. They got front, they got out. Everybody was working. Every officer that was available was working, and we didn't have too much downtime and too much foolishness going on in my city. So I want to give them a hands up. And family, understand this. Every time you think you're doing bad, all you got to do is turn around and look at the world and look outside your door. Somebody's doing worse. So put away all them fears and all that foolishness and get on with your life and thank God about what's going on in your life.
Well, Real, give us that date, that okay. place, and that phone number, if possible, where we can get in touch. And what we're asking those of you who are in the listening audience, sometimes you might not be able to be in a position to be at different events or different things,
right.
but you do have the ability to plant a seed around you. I mean, if you talk to the people that's just inside of your household alone, you might be able to drop a seed, you know, to sow a seed, mm-hmm. plant them everywhere, stony places and everywhere. So mm-hmm. if we just drop these seeds into the community, then mm-hmm. possibly we might be able to bring forward some real
absolutely
great things.
And very well put, you know, Brother Carl, we can't always be everywhere. But you know what? One thing I found out, our seed can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sit down on your computer and order stuff that's coming out of China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can donate anywhere. So once again, Sickle Cell Foundation is Blood Drive Wednesday, September 20th, 2017, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's right there at the Sickle Cell Foundation, 1600 North Australian Avenue. Now, for more information, if you want to schedule even your appointment, say I can only go there during lunch, Schedule your appointment. You can go to oneblood.org/sickle. Or you can call 1-888-9-DONATE, and that would be so appreciative. And you know, you made the observation of Cox Media with this, because not only is this happening on that day here in Palm Beach, it's happening in Fort Lauderdale, it's happening in Miami, it's happening in those places. And going back to what we just talked about, coordination of efforts. Mm-hmm. The day of the Lone Ranger is over. The day of just trying to say, well, I did it. No. Mm-hmm. We've got to understand it's about the whole entire
the team community
coming together. And understanding that, listen here, I come from a biblical perspective. You know, Ephesians 4:16, and every joint supplying the other, fitly joined together. And so guess what? You have something, Brother Walker, that I don't have, but I need. I have something that you don't have that you need. Brother Carl have something that neither one of us have, but we need, and it goes on. And if we ever stop being intimidated by what each other have and bring this stuff together, guess what? Everybody's going
to
benefit.
Well, you know, when I think about what people need, I want you to say a prayer, if you will, Pastor, and those of you who are genuinely concerned with the well-being of our children. The superintendent of Palm Beach County, he's been up under a lot of pressure lately. Mm. You know what I mean? Even if after they did the serving of the foods at the school, then there's someone, they went under inspection. Now they're supposed to be inspecting the food centers all across the country, which is mm-hmm. is good, because we need to be up to standard, up to snuff. But I'm also looking at he's receiving a lot of pushback about the amount of teachers, the amount of bus drivers, accidents, and all these other kind of things. And I think because of the position that he's in, mm-hmm. Being allowed the opportunity to be the leading superintendent in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. that means that he's going to have to take on a lot more pressure than any other mm-hmm. Superintendent. And most of the time, people look at the statistics of Palm Beach County and try to compare them with Martin and St. Louis and all of that, and they don't realize that Palm Beach is the 11th largest school district. So his problems are much greater, needs support coming from the community. To assist him in making some of the decisions and then directing some of the forces that he's directly in control of. So I'm hoping that as we continue to build capacity inside of Palm Beach County, we will look at these entities that we might be able to fellowship with. Absolutely. That can improve the quality of life for everybody in Palm Beach County. And I just wanted to drop everybody, take a look. I ain't telling you to push back up off the superintendent, but I'm asking you to take a look at how you might possibly be able to assist him.
Yeah, I like Dr. Vosa, and I think he's going to do great things. I just want to plug the Courage Alliance. All you pastors out there, you need to get involved. You need to figure out how to get into contact with Pastor Thicklin, myself. So we have a meeting coming up on the 25th. On the 25th, Monday on the 25th. We're going to go somewhere with this. God has got us in his hands, and I just want y'all to know I need all pastors, all clergy to get in contact with us so we can get y'all on board.
I got to big you up, Tommy, because if they'd have told me that you was going to be the secretary, I'd have said no. But now, as a result of working with you during the first day of school, I thank God for putting you in that position, because I know that it's going to be taken care of. Yeah. And, Rev, before we get out of here.
You know, I just want to say this. This is a prime time for us to come together and work together across lines, racial, ethnic, denomination, all those things. This is a prime time for us to work together as one, and we're excited about it.
And I didn't get to that last meeting. I know the churches are supposed to be meeting sometime very shortly. Mm-hmm. But we can't solve it all. Should it be the will of God, we'll be back with you next Sunday. And at Coffee Talk, we'll always
be happy.
Happy.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.